This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, it's Clinton of VK6FCRC and welcome to News West for the 2nd of March 2025. Now on with the news.
Exciting news. The Peel Amateur Radio Group and the WAVHF Group will combine resources to have an amateur radio station at the Kings Park Anzac service. We believe this will be an amateur radio first. The RSL has granted permission to have an amateur radio station operating, and we hope that the Kings Park Board are also supportive to have the amateur radio mobile communications unit on site at Kings Park from the day before Anzac, i.e. Thursday the 24th of April. This is in support, too, of the special event VK80MAN Operation Manor that you heard mentioned in the news. Operation Manor was a humanitarian food drop into the Netherlands at the cessation of World War II, and we think it worthy of celebrating. It is certainly in the Anzac spirit of compassion. Tune in next week for more details. Well done, too, to the Peel Amateur Radio Group for another very successful Pargfest.
Hi, folks. This is Bob VK6POP, and I'd like to talk about integrity in amateur radio. We call ourselves amateur radio operators, but some of us haven't been on air enough to retain the title. I'm not claiming that there's a level of activity that legitimises our claim to being amateurs, but I do wonder sometimes if we tend to wander away from the hobby. And that's the key, I think. It's a hobby after all. But what got me thinking is, what is it that causes us to be distracted and neglect the hobby that we've clung to for years? Is it lack of stimulation? You know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt and so on. Could it be that we're looking for something new or different? There's nothing wrong with that. However, is there enough new stuff around? For some of us, there's the challenges faced when we decide to downsize our homes. I'm in that category. I've gone from 5 acres with trees galore to an urban property with a small backyard. When this happens, we're suddenly pushed for antenna space, and as in my case, I suddenly will have neighbours and local government to contend with. At my old place, neither of them's cared. Out of sight, out of mind. That aside, there are some on-air things that you may not have tried. There are nets that you could join, listen to, or even start one up. You don't need anyone's permission, just have a go. If nobody turns up, who cares? Try again, another band or time, maybe. If conventional contests aren't your thing, have a go at long-form contests. An example is RASA's DX contest. It runs for a year, and all you do is keep a log of your DX contacts and submit it at the end of the year. It gives you some incentive to get on air. Lastly, there are the outdoor portable activities, VKFF, Summits on the Air, Parks on the Air, etc. You can be the outdoors person exploring parks or the person at home giving them someone to make contact with. Make your choice, home or away. Both are important elements of the activity. These suggestions are only a sample of what you could do to stimulate your amateur radio life. You're only limited by your imagination. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Wally Coxon and the WAVHF Group. Recorded 27th of February 2025. This is Mac, VK6MM. Anyone who has taken even a cursory interest in the history of wireless in Western Australia will have heard of Wally Coxon, VK6AG. Wally was born in New South Wales in 1891, and after moving to Perth became a leading figure in developing and researching wireless communication in WA. He is probably most remembered for his involvement in establishing broadcast station 6WF for West Australian farmers, which began broadcasting in 1924. Not so well known is his involvement with the establishment of numerous other commercial broadcast stations. He was also heavily involved in the Flying Doctor network in Western Australia, including the construction of equipment when Traeger was overwhelmed with unprecedented demand. The only time I have ever seen a genuine pedal radio generator was in his shack come storage shed at Lapsley Road when I was delivering an ancient TRF receiver I had acquired for the WIA Museum collection, Wally being the official VK6 curator at the time. Wally also regaled me with numerous anecdotes of the way things were in the early days of wireless experimenters. One of them was about being able to receive transmissions, Morse of course, from ships near Albany on their way to Fremantle, using relatively sensitive experimental receiving equipment. He could then give local shipping agents early information of expected arrivals in Fremantle. CW was the predominant method of wireless for two-way communication. And amplitude modulation was used for broadcasting and amateur use. These were the two systems Wally was familiar with, and as is common with older people, was uncomfortable with any newfangled methods and saw no need for them. His opinion, and that of others of similar background, if you couldn't handle CW, then you really couldn't be a wireless operator or radio amateur. When the Amateur Operators Limited Certificate of Proficiency was introduced in June 1954, the question of whether holders of such qualifications should be admitted to full membership of the VK6 division of the WIA was raised. Unfortunately, my attempts to locate the general meeting minutes for the relevant period have been fruitless, so I'm unable to verify my memory of events with written evidence. As I recall, it was Wally who moved that AOLCP holders not be admitted to full membership. This was duly seconded and passed. Understandably, holders of an AOLCP were somewhat miffed. A group of them got together and decided that the best solution was to form their own association with full membership rights. And so it came to pass that Wally Coxon influenced the formation of the WIVHF group.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6 ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Recently, I received a lovely email from Michele, India Uniform 4 Tango Bravo Foxtrot, asking some pertinent questions about the Bold Yak project. If you're unfamiliar, the Bold Yak project aims to create a modular, bidirectional and distributed signal processing and control system that leverages GNU radio. The short answer to how I'm doing getting GNU radio to play nice with my computer is that I have bruises on my forehead from banging my head against the wall. When I get to success, I'll document it. To be clear, I'm not sure what the root cause is. I suspect it lies between the GNU radio developers, the people making packages, and the manufacturer of my computer. I'm the lucky one, stuck in the middle. A more interesting question that Michele asked was, for Bold Yak, what is the AD and DA requirement for making GNU radio talk to an antenna? This is a much deeper question than meets the eye, and I think it serves as a way to discuss what I think that this project looks like. Ultimately, in the digital realm, to receive, an analog antenna signal needs to be converted to digital using an analog-to-digital or AD converter. And to transmit, the reverse uses a digital-to-analog or DA converter to make an electrical signal appear on your antenna. The specific AD or DA converter determines what you can do. The sampling rate of such a converter determines what frequencies it can handle. The sample size determines the range of signals it can handle. You can compare it with a video screen. The sample rate determines how many pixels on the screen. The sample size determines how many colors in each pixel. The sample rate of an AD converter is measured in samples per second. If the device only has one channel, you could think of this as hertz. But if there are multiple channels, like say a sound card, the sample rate is likely equally divided across each channel. You might have a sound card capable of 384,000 samples per second, or kilo samples. But if it supports simultaneous stereo audio input and output, only 96 of those 384 kilo samples will be allocated to each channel, and only half of those will actually help reconstruct the audio signal, leaving you with 48 kilohertz audio. In other words, the advertised frequency response might not have a direct and obvious relationship with the sample rate. At the moment, I have access to a few different AD and DA converters. The simplest one, a USB audio sound card, appears to do up to 192 kilo samples at 16 bits. The next one, an RTL-SDR, tops out at a theoretical rate of 3.2 million or megasamples at 8 bits. The analog device's ADALM Pluto, or Pluto SDR, handles 61.44 megasamples at 12 bits. Now, to be clear, there are other limitations and considerations which I'm skipping over. Consider, for example, the speed at which each of these devices can talk to a computer, in this case over USB. I'm also going to ignore things like mixers, allowing devices like the RTL-SDR and Pluto-SDR to tune across frequency ranges that go beyond their sample rate. Each of these three devices can convert an analog antenna signal into bits that can be processed by GNU Radio. All of them can also be used to do the opposite and transmit. Yes, you heard me. Several amateurs figured out that an RTL-SDR can actually transmit. Credits to ISMO, Oscar Hotel 2, Foxtrot Tango Golf, Tattoo, Oscar Hotel 2 Echo Alpha Tango, and Oscar India Kilo 1 X-ray Papa Victor. The point being that whatever Bold Yak looks like, it will need to handle a range of AD and DA converters. As I've said previously, I'm aiming for this to work incrementally for everyone. This means that if you have a sound card in your computer or an $8 USB one, this should work. And if you have a $33,000 National Instruments Etus USRP X410 lying around, this too should work. Also, if you have an X410 lying around, not doing anything, I'd be happy to put it to use, you know, for testing. So kidding aside, what about the rest of the Bold Yak experience? GNU Radio works with things called blocks, essentially little programs that take data, do something to it, then output it in some way. It follows the Unix philosophy. Make each program do one thing well. Expect the output of every program to become the input to another. Design and build software to be tried early. And use tools rather than unskilled labor. Amateur radio transceivers traditionally use electronics blocks. But if we move to software, we can update and expand our capabilities as the computer we're using gets faster and the GNU radio blocks evolve. And because it's all digital, the computer doesn't actually have to be in the same box, let alone the same room. It could be in multiple boxes scattered around the internet. So the idea of Bold Yak is a collection of blocks that allow you to do radio things. You might have a separate box for each amateur radio mode: AM, FM, SSB, RTTY, CW, Whisper, FT8, FT4, Q65... but also modes like Olivia, FreeDV, SSTV, Packet, PSK31 or Thor. Instead of having to figure out how to wire these modes into your radio and your computer, the infrastructure is already there and you just download another block for a mode you want to play with. We'll need to deal with variables like which AD and DA converter is being used and what their limitations are. We'll also need to build a command and control layer, and probably a few other things. I'm considering a few other aspects. For example, GNU Radio is mostly run with text files. We might distribute those using something like a web store. GNU Radio is proving hard to install. Perhaps a live CD is the way to go. We'll need to come up with a base level of functionality, and the documentation to go with it. I'm still contemplating how to best license this all, specifically to stop it from being exploited. Feel free to get in touch if you have ideas. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's March Bulletin to go to air. Firstly though, an important announcement. Lunchtime meeting change of venue. Please listen carefully. The next lunchtime meeting for members and friends of the RAOTC in Perth on Tuesday, March the 11th, will be at a new venue, the High Wycombe Bar and Grill, 530 Calamunda Road, High Wycombe, starting at 11:30. Those attending the February lunchtime meeting at High Wycombe were impressed with the venue, prompt service, plus the quality and pricing of meals. All voted unanimously to hold this month's lunch there. There is adequate car parking and there's good access via public transport. Full travel details are published on the RAOTC Club website under the heading Luncheons. A comprehensive, well-priced seniors menu is available in addition to the standard menu. Most regular attendees have been notified of this change and everyone is welcome to attend. But lunch coordinator Phil, VK6ZKO, would appreciate it if all those planning to attend would email him at pbcasper@bigpond.com. I'll just spell that. Papa, Bravo, Charlie, Alpha, Sierra, Papa, Echo, Romeo, pbcasper@bigpond.com, so that he can advise the High Wycombe Bar and Grill of numbers attending. So just repeating, the March lunchtime meeting venue is the High Wycombe Bar and Grill. Full details can be found on the RAOTC website. This month, instead of the usual broadcast, we will offer an historical broadcast from years past by Alan Doble, VK3AMD, now Silent Key, from September 2002. The latest club news and information will be broadcast next month. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the programme and to join in the callbacks afterwards. Full details of all transmissions, times, modes and frequencies can be found on the RAOTC website at www.raotc.org.au or just Google RAOTC Broadcasts. Please note that the 10-metre transmission from Mike VK8MA now starts at 0400 Zulu. New start time 0400 Zulu for the 10-metre transmission. If none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. If you do listen this way, some brief feedback would be appreciated. Now, some local broadcast details. Tomorrow, Chris, VK6JI, will transmit the bulletin on 80 metres on 3620 kHz starting at 8 a.m. Please note that this start time of 8 a.m. is an hour earlier than it used to be. Also at 8 a.m. local time tomorrow, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network, Talk Group 5. At 10 a.m. local time, the program will be transmitted via the News West linked repeater system, simultaneously with a 40-meter transmission on 7088 kHz, again by Chris VK6JI. On Wednesday, March the 6th, we have a D-Star broadcast at about 4:30 p.m. WA local time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C following AR Newsline. On Sunday, March the 9th, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 160-metre and the 80-metre broadcasts of the WIA News, both of which now start at 6 a.m., and again after the 40-metre broadcast, which now starts at 8 a.m. Just repeating those new start times, 80 metres at 6 a.m., 40 metres at 8 a.m., both conducted by Chris VK6JI. So tune in tomorrow for the March RAOTC broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callback. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
On Tuesday afternoons and evenings, the 40 and 80 metre bands come alive with the sound of slow CW. Who would have thought that this ancient art, which some say was once such a dreaded part of the amateur license test, would become so popular in these days of modern communications. The uncontrolled net is run in designated portions of the two bands to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment. Slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or to just enjoy the banter. The CQQRS net started in Western Australia 3 years ago and has been running every single Tuesday and has been unbelievably popular. The net runs from 3 p.m. until about 7 p.m. on 40 metres, then moves to 80 metres, and we've had up to 60 stations on air having a go. And who knows how many listeners are out there every Tuesday as well. So, the CQQRS net is on 40 metres between 0700 Zulu and 1100 Zulu, that is 3 p.m. until 7 p.m., and is held between 7020 and 7040 kHz. Then between 0900 Zulu and 1300 Zulu, which is 5 p.m. until 9 p.m., we're on between 3540 and 3570 kHz every Tuesday. There's no net control, so when you're ready to have a go, just find a quiet spot and start calling CQQRS at about 75% of the speed you can copy. Most stations will match your speed, so go slow until you're really comfortable with CW. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code, or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed. We'd love to have you join in. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So again, the net starts at 3 p.m. every Tuesday, above the DX segment on 40 metres between 7020 and 7040. Then, after 7 p.m, moves to 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz. There are usually stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our free weekly CQQRS RagTube newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via the email on qrz.com, or you can use our address, cqrsnet@gmail.com. That is cqrsnet@gmail.com, and I'll be pleased to have a chat.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
QTC Magazine is a publication of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, and it's completely electronic, no dead trees involved, and you can view it as a flip pages on the screen version or download a PDF, and it's free to everyone. Our January-February edition was published a few weeks ago, and we're now working towards a March edition. And in between, we put out a news release about 60 metres and what the history of the 60 metre allocation is in Australia. Well, it's basically a non-allocation. So please read the item that we published. It's on our website. We've published it to WA Hams. We put it up on VK6 Amateur Radio Facebook page, so it's there and available. But it's at the website vkradioamateurs.org, and it gives a blow-by-blow history of the World Radio Conference in 2015, at which the WIA had a seat, and there was a deal done there that would exclude amateurs from accessing 60 metres in Australia in perpetuity, it turns out. This is verified by correspondence from the Department of Defence and by meetings with the ACMA. Unfortunately, a few of the faithful from the Wireless Institute have embarked on a series of denials, threats, and the usual stuff against RASA. to try and mask the truth, but the reality is there. It's in plain writing for everyone to see. So catch up with the QTC magazine to be published in another week or two, the March edition, and that will have a follow-up. And while you're waiting, read the article on 60 Metres that we released in between the magazines. It's true, it's verifiable, based on research and peer-reviewed. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6X-ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 2nd of March in a brand new month. And today I have the following. Well, not much different to last week. In fact, no new items from last week. But this week I have looking for aluminium mast section after it was snapped in the Hill storm recently. Gary, VK6 Lima X-ray, is looking for a Texas Tower aluminium mast section. If you can help him or give him some idea on where that can come from. I have no phone number for Gary. Gary, VK6 Lima X-ray. Haven't got one, sorry about that, but if you can send me an email, I'll send it on. And one other item, a repeat wanted, still looking for a Android tablet type 6.0 or higher with 1.5 gigabyte of RAM to run a particular application for David, VK6 Papa Yankee November. That's a tablet computer, Android 6 or better, 1.5 gigabyte of RAM, and you can contact David on his electric telephone 0450031452, 0450031452, if you can help him with that tablet computer unit, and his call sign VK6 Papa Yankee November. And that's about all I have for this week. Okay, anyone with any items for next week's broadcast, please contact me. The VK6XRayVictor@bigpond.com is the email address. Again, VictorKilo6XRayVictor@bigpond.com. 73.
Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWest Weekly Podcast -Kilo Zulu 7 Yankee Charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6 ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.